Phil Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. For Mikhail Gorbachev, a long-simmering ethnic dispute in two of his southern republics is now headed for the political flashpoint. From Moscow, Bert Quint reports.
The Armenian legislature today backed the hundreds of thousands of strikers and demonstrators who have been demanding that a region in a neighboring republic be turned over to Armenia. The dispute centers on a region called Nagorno-Karabakh, made up mostly of Armenian Christians, but inside Muslim Azerbaijan. It has provoked violent ethnic clashes in Azerbaijan. It was Mikhail Gorbachev's reforms that encouraged the Armenian protest. But Gorbachev doesn't want to offend the Azerbaijanis or encourage similar disputes elsewhere in this land of many nationalities. Whichever republic he rules against now is likely to cause trouble, and there are bound to be a lot of delegates at the National Communist Party conference in 2 weeks who will point to Armenia and Azerbaijan and say, if this is what perestroika brings, it's got to be stopped. Bert Quint, CBS News, Moscow.
Gorbachev was confronted with more ethnic pressure yesterday as thousands of people demonstrated in three Baltic republics in official and unofficial marches to condemn Stalin's mass deportations of Latvians, Lithuanians, and Estonians in the 1940s. Reports say the KGB arrested two people who raised the Lithuanian flag. In Afghanistan, Muslim guerrillas are said to have punched through defenses of Kandahar, the nation's second largest city, and delayed Soviet troop withdrawal. CBS newsman Kurt Loback has just returned from the combat zone.
The past 2 weeks have seen heavy fighting between Afghan Mujahideen forces and the Soviet Afghan armies. The resistance have had unprecedented successes, particularly in Kandahar and Zabul provinces in southeastern Afghanistan, capturing numerous Afghan military posts and a large Soviet base. U.S. Ambassador to Pakistan, Arnold Rafel, says the successes are to be expected.
All along, our objective has been that the Afghan people be able to determine their own future free from foreign occupation. And we've always believed that once the foreign occupation troops left, that's what the Afghan people would do. I think what you're seeing now with the extraordinary successes that the resistance is having is just that. It's the Afghan people determining their own future.
The most important achievement of the Mujahideen this week has been their ability to obtain control of the highway from Kandahar, nearly 100 kilometers towards the capital of Kabul, their ultimate objective. Fighting continues to be intense across the country, but in Kandahar and Zabul provinces, the Mujahideen are celebrating with victory dances. Kurt Loback, CBS News, Peshawar, Pakistan.
Europeans are becoming increasingly ashamed of sports-related violence. Dan Ravid has the latest case in point.
It is the sound of European soccer in the 1980s. No teams on the field. This isn't even the stadium. In the streets of Dusseldorf, West Germany, around the railroad station where fans were arriving for a game today between England and Holland, it was England versus West Germany versus Holland on the rampage. Rival gangs, now known as soccer hooligans, were at war. The West German police made over 130 arrests to break up the mobs. Two-thirds of those arrested were English. Here in London, Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher in Parliament spoke of shame.
The scenes that we have seen on our television screens, again, are a disgrace to civilized society and made us all feel, I believe, thoroughly ashamed if any of our people were involved in them.
As the shattered remains of store windows were scooped up in Dusseldorf this morning, the top-selling newspaper here in Britain, The Sun, today says the proud name of this country is dragged through the gutters of Europe by mindless savages. It is sickening to be English. Dan Raviv, CBS News, London.
In Manila today, a boisterous funeral motorcade for Josefa Marcos, mother of former President Ferdinand Marcos. She died on May 4th at the age of 95, but the burial was delayed while Marcos sought permission to return for the funeral. President Aquino turned him down on security grounds, and today some 8,000 Marcos loyalists used the funeral as a show of support. This morning, an Ariane rocket roared from the launch pad in French Guiana, putting three satellites into orbit for the European Space Agency. The successful launch was also meant to show potential customers that vehicle is ready for more business. Howard Baker says he's turned down a lucrative offer to write a kiss-and-tell book about his year as White House Chief of Staff. As Terrence Smith reports, Baker revealed yesterday he's leaving the job July 1st.
Howard Baker had said repeatedly that he would be there to turn out the lights at the end of the Reagan administration. But when ill health forced both his wife and stepmother into the hospital recently, the soft-spoken Tennessean told the president he wanted to go at the end of the month.
I intend to return to private life and to to enjoy it to the fullest. I expect to campaign vigorously for Republican candidates, especially for the Senate and especially for President and Vice President.
He will be succeeded by his deputy, Kenneth Duberstein, a savvy 44-year-old Washington lobbyist who knows Capitol Hill well. The resignation has inevitably fueled speculation that Baker may become the Republican vice presidential candidate. Baker told reporters yesterday that he was not interested in the job, but would not turn it down. And there are many Republicans in this town who think a Bush-Baker ticket would have broad national appeal. Terrence Smith, CBS News, the White House.
The National Party chairman debated in Washington last night. GOP Chairman Frank Fahrenkopf taking on Democratic candidate Michael Dukakis for saying in a speech yesterday he would scrap President Reagan's Strategic Defense Initiative.
Mike Dukakis told the Soviet Union and the world that he opposes SDI and would do away with it, that he opposes the midget man, that he opposes the MX, laying out right now out front a naive approach to foreign policy because he has no foreign policy experience.
Fahrenkopf stressed the foreign policy credentials of Vice President Bush, but Democratic Chairman Paul Kirk said that experience cuts both ways.
Anyone who was former director of the CIA, sat at the NSC table with the responsibility of terrorism, and didn't know that guns were being sold out of the White House to the Ayatollah, only two questions. Did you know it or not? And if not, if you did, tell the American people. And if you didn't, don't talk to us about knowledge and experience on foreign policy.
About 225 farmers gathered last night in a field near Fostoria, Ohio, and with the help of a Catholic priest, prayed for rain. The drought has blistered crops across the country, and while admitting some areas have already suffered disasters, Agriculture Secretary Richard Ling says it's too soon to endorse drought relief legislation, that crops still have time to recover.
It is still mid-June, and there's time for recovery. In July, weather is much more important for summer crops than June weather. Except in those areas it has been so bad, some of those crops will just never fully recover.
Ling admitted, though, there's a potential for a nationwide farm disaster. Retail sales held back by lagging car buying rose a scant 0.1% in May after a relatively rare decline in April. The dollar is higher overseas, gold up over $2 in London at $450.30 an ounce. And after an up day yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is off at this hour 1.07. It's 7:10.